Yeah, having my head shoved into the steps of the Ulster Bank in Ranelagh, cold butt of a gun put into the back of your skull. That's a moment where you go, okay, yeah, I think this one's up.
How does a high-flying academic become one of Ireland's most prolific bank robbers?
What I would see as the most important part of this still lies open.
I'm Not Here to Hurt You, a brand new series from the award-winning team behind the Indo Daily.
That November day, that's where it all begins.
Out now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Seachtain, an Indo as Gaeilge.
Time I mon iarracht I aon of chacht ar a chur, agus suilgam a machan seo, gur féidir é a chur in uig ceart lena bhaintir féin.
Scíltí, fís, tuairimí.
Tá sé dochreite nach bhéadach ara I gcuirna meáin an cheist sin a eicáil.
Bhí an talam a gináim go raibh orthchar an reachtam. Iadach sé tarann go raibh an orthchar san I lis dúthail agus gimine fnacht gór a chlig sár ducha sin éachar. Ná ní bhín ann dár dárach sin, bhín marav.
Seachtain. Find us on all the usual podcast platforms.
Hello and you're welcome to The Big Tech Show with me, Adrian Weckler, the tech editor of the Irish and Sunday Independent. And this week we're talking about online etiquette, particularly with regard to social media networks and wherever else you hang out online. I'm delighted to be joined on the line by Victoria Turk, who's the features editor for Wired UK and the author of Digital Etiquette, which is very much on point what we're talking about. By the way, for US listeners, it's in the US, it's called Kill Reply All, a modern guide to online etiquette from social media to work to love. Victoria, you're very, very welcome to the show.
Oh, thanks for having me on.
And by the way, I should mention before we get into it, the New York Times said that Victoria Turk's Kill Reply All is one of the more amusing digital etiquette books you'll read. So that's the paper of record in half the Western world. Quite a nice compliment there. One of the things that I was talking to you briefly about before we came on air was the issue of, quote, tweeting. Now, I've written stuff about this before. I'm not sure whether you have a view on this. There are a couple of elements to this. I use Twitter quite a lot, and I've come to notice over the last couple of years a very passive-aggressive thing going on with, quote, tweeting, particularly with regard to people you're trying to converse with and who will only speak to you by, quote, tweeting your remarks as if you're on some sort of a show or broadcasting. Am I alone being a bit peevish about that?
I think you're definitely not alone. I think, you know, it's something that people are increasingly noticing, sort of quote tweeting being, I guess, misused is the problem. Mm. You know, I think there is a legitimate use for the quote tweet function on Twitter. But, you know, when you're using it specifically to criticize people, it takes on sort of a more of an edge. And I think you've hit the nail on the head there when you say, you know, when people use the tweet quote function to kind of have a conversation with you instead of just using the reply to tweet function. And it's very much sort of what they're doing by doing that. Instead of replying directly to you, they're replying very publicly and sort of almost airing your dirty laundry. You know, I mean, obviously, if you're engaging in a Twitter thread, it is public anyway. It's, you know, it's not a DM. It's not private.
Yep.
But there's something very almost like exhibitionist, I guess, about choosing to use the quote reply to like push that right to all of your followers and kind of get an audience going.
Yeah. And there's quite a lot. I would feel there's quite a lot of vanity and ego wrapped up in that. I mean, like pseudo trolls like Piers Morgan, which I'm allowed to say, I think, legally. I think he wouldn't mind. I've interviewed him before. I'm sure he wouldn't mind if I said that. When he's, you know, interacting with whoever will argue with him, basically, he will always quote tweet them. In terms of an online etiquette perspective and in terms of manners, which would you perceive to be the better practice or the less offensive practice? If you're going to slag somebody off and you're going to quote tweet them, or you want to do that, which is worse, actually quote tweeting them so that you can see it if you're being quote tweeted, or taking a screenshot or a snapshot and tweeting that as a quote tweet?
Well, you know, I mean, if you're talking about good etiquette, slagging someone off full stop usually doesn't fall within that bracket.
No, you're right, of course.
Between those two options, I do actually think that quote tweeting is probably the better option. Mm. Because if you're taking a screenshot, then the person who has, made that tweet in the first place is not necessarily going to be aware that you've then commented on it. Mm. So you're both broadcasting your criticism very publicly by pushing it out as a quote tweet, as a tweet with the screenshot, but you're not giving that person the opportunity to sort of defend themselves or see what you've done. Now, obviously, there's always going to be exceptions, right? So I think if it's a tweet that from a person who you know could kind of set a bunch of trolls on you if they see you criticizing them or something like that, maybe there could be justification for choosing to do a screenshot instead and to not notify them to make that decision because of that reason. But then you also have to ask yourself, you know, why am I pushing this tweet out there if I so vehemently disagree with it? You know, there is this issue of giving people kind of more of a platform, even though you are trying to do the opposite by, you know, disagreeing with their view. And I think you also have to take that into account. So there's lots of sort of nuances that come into this debate, really.
Oh, I think you've hit the nail on the head absolutely there. And I've even heard it kind of argued by people who are screenshotting other people. And by the way, listen, I know this sounds like a very, very kind of in-platform podcast conversation we're having here. But I think the principles here could be applied more widely. But I'll just continue the point I was going to make, that some who do screenshot will argue that by screenshotting it and not actually quote tweeting the live tweet, they are somewhat limiting the platform or the follow-through that a casual reader might have access to, because if they click or tap on the picture, they just get the picture. Whereas if they click or tap on the tweet, they then may go into that person's Twitter stream and maybe they'll see more of the content. And that's not necessarily what you wanted in the first place. But then it goes back to your original point. Well, if that was your aim, you didn't want to give them publicity, why on earth are you doing it in the first place?
Yeah, definitely.
Do you know, there was a very good... Sorry, go on.
Yeah, I think maybe, you know, one of the kind of fundamental questions you should ask yourself when you're looking to publicly criticize someone, you know, there are legitimate circumstances where you may want to do that, right? Mm-hmm. If there's kind of a view going around your thread that you disagree with and you think that you have a valuable alternative perspective that may actually be useful for other people to hear, yes, of course, you could do that. If you have an opinion on a piece of creative work, a film, a book or whatever, you know, there's criticism is a vibrant part of the arts community, that's fine. But I think you need to kind of think a little bit about, you know, what am I aiming to achieve from this? Do I think that I am really genuinely contributing something useful to this conversation, or am I doing this mainly to try and kind of get attention?
Yeah.
And I think, you know, I don't want to fall into that trap of saying like, everyone on social media is just looking for attention. That's part of being human. I don't think there's necessarily much wrong with that. But I think, you know, maybe just be a little bit honest with yourself about what you expect to get from this, and then make that decision, you know, being well informed about your own intentions, because it can be easy just to the kind of excitement of the moment to kind of just do things. And it's so easy on social media to post things in a second without even interrogating your own kind of reasons for doing that.
I mean, this is an awkward paradox that I personally have wrestled with for many years. I've tried to stop over the last few years getting to any kind of significant argument online, and certainly not just pass remarking on issues for that reason, because I sort of became aware at a certain point that there must have been some part of my psyche that was doing this for the thrill of doing it, or maybe for the attention, or maybe to connect to an audience. I mean, one of the more noble...
I don't think that's wrong.
Well, one of the more noble rationales that someone might have for either quote tweeting or getting into it online is they may say genuinely that they are sincere people. They're sincere, maybe activists, and maybe they're disturbed or horrified or or otherwise, by the threat of something that's ugly in front of them, and that maybe they genuinely want to try and be part of the solution rather than the problem. But it's sometimes hard to know where the line is between that is and I want to identify with this group, and I want them to see that I identify with them. And even by me doing that, even if it doesn't actually right the wrong or be part of the solution, it is still sort of for the greater good. Do you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it is a really tough one, and it's so context dependent on what you're actually tweeting, you know. So it is a really difficult one. And, you know, I've got nothing against people tweeting to try and get more followers or try and get more likes. I mean, that's what we're all on Twitter for, right? Mm. You know, every time I tweet, I want people to read it. I want people to like it.
I mean, God,
it.
We're journalists, for God's sake. I mean, this is exactly. Part of the paradox of our own business anyway.
But if you're specifically, you know, kind of retweeting things that you really disagree with into your followers' feeds, you know, there is a bit of a sort of cost benefit analysis, I guess, that you have to do is like, you know, do I really need to push this person's views out? Do any of my followers realistically think that I would hold any different view anyway? You know, is this actually gaining anything to say that I disagree with this completely abhorrent tweet that everyone would presumably assume that I would disagree with anyway? Yeah, it's difficult. And, you know, actually a related trend, which I've noticed recently, which really annoys me, is sort of the opposite, where people will tweet something like, can't believe everyone is tweeting this thing, don't give them a platform, or something like that, which I understand is what I've exactly said right now, but I almost feel like that's sort of just as annoying of, you know, it's sort of someone saying like, look, I'm so much better than everyone else on here.
Oh, God.
but I still want, you know, I want recognition for that. I'm not just going to keep that to myself.
100%. Actually, do you know what? I'd find this, and I'd be careful what I say here, but I find that when somebody, say, either in the industry or not as much in the industry, someone who's very well known passes away, and let's say they're a beloved, for example, and let's say you know, they were popular or they were a giant or whatever, there are an enormous number of people, and we journalists are sometimes the worst for this, who we'll go online immediately and say, I'm devastated to hear about this, which would probably be true, but then immediately link to an interview we did with them 7 months ago or something else that by the way, sort of injects us into the story a little bit, you know?
Yeah, I guess there's a level of tact, isn't there? And again, it depends on the situation, you know? So it's really hard to come up with these sort of overarching rules for this sort of thing. And I guess that's the same as etiquette as a whole. You know, so much of it is context dependent and is kind of like basically trying to read the room, which unfortunately online is very difficult to do.
It is. I'm going to ask you specifically about that in 1 second. Just before we leave the quote tweeting thing, there was a thread that I did see on Twitter. I think it was from last August. It struck a chord with me. It was very caustic. It was very world weary as well, and maybe a little defeated. But it was from a Twitter account called Megan Cubed. I'm not sure what her real name is. I'm not sure if you do know what her real name is, but it got a lot of retweets. But this is, if you forgive me, 20 seconds to read it out. She said, social media doesn't work the way you think it does. It's a marketing platform. Those horrible people you keep responding to, quote tweeting and dunking on every hour, you're engaging with and sharing their content, which tells the algorithm that their content is now worth promoting. Dunking isn't taking a stand, it's more marketing. And you can't do marketing for Nazis on an hourly basis than stand around acting shocked that the Nazis are still on the platform. The Nazis are profitable because of how we're trained to engage with them. And then she goes on, it sort of degenerates into, so keep dunking, whatever, just post tweet after tweet of inane, pithy commentary to get your rocks off. It doesn't matter, but don't act like you're helping anybody. Now, there is, you can hear that there's a massive level of disappointment in that person's thread there, but she does have a point, doesn't she?
Yeah, I mean, I guess there's definitely a truth to that idea that, you know, on social media, engagement is valuable, and it doesn't necessarily matter if that engagement is positive or negative. And that's not necessarily reflected in, you know, kind of the raw numbers, I guess, and the data and how that's portrayed. But I would be wary of, again, drawing these kind of general rules, because you don't want to go too far the opposite way and kind of shut down discussion. You know, you don't want to overly police individuals' ability to communicate or engage in debate and things. So, yeah, again, you know, it is so nuanced, and it's hard to kind of tread that line. And I think, you know, we all have to kind of also recognize that we are all human, we're all fallible, we all make mistakes. And I think sometimes we do kind of jump on things a little bit too quickly when we disagree with something someone's posted, rather than seeing that as sort of one small action in sort of a lifetime of social media usage.
I think that's a very fair point. I don't think there's many who disagree with that. From that kind of dark perspective, something a little bit lighter. As I said earlier in the podcast, you have written a book called Digital Etiquette, or in the States, it's called Kill Reply All. And that is about digital etiquette, right?
Indeed.
And now, something happened to me the other day. This is the second time I've referred to people dying in the last 5 minutes, but somebody died that I knew. And there were a lot of Facebook messages. The person's relative posted that they died. And there was no emoticon that seemed really appropriate, because some people liked it, and so the thumbs up didn't look great. Some people put the crying emoji, and that seemed to sort of look a bit trivial or something. It almost looked a bit childish. Is this a thing that... there's any wise counsel on?
That's a really difficult one, because obviously it's such a personal and emotional experience to lose someone that you know. And I think, you know, I would say emoji is not the best way to communicate your emotions in that situation. Emoji are not a good way in general of communicating complex emotions where they could be easily misinterpreted by other people. Likewise, though, you know, I think none of us really know what to say in that situation. So I can see why people might take that route. You know, you mentioned the like button. Although obviously it looks a bit strange in that context, it has taken on all these different meanings beyond just, you know, I like this, which obviously I don't think anyone would mean when they're using it in that context. And, you know, it's so difficult. You can't tell people how to grieve, because that's such a personal, individual experience. I mean, I think if I'm in that situation, my kind of initial reaction, I suppose, if I knew the person well enough, if I knew their family, would be to take it private and maybe send a personal message, and not necessarily expect a response, obviously, because it's a very difficult time, but to try and, you know, maybe just take it away from public social media.
That's actually really good advice. That's really good advice, to just send them a personal message, to not expect a reply, and to not be asking a question, but just to let them know that you're thinking of them, and that it is acknowledged. They have chosen to acknowledge it publicly, so you're choosing to acknowledge it without any pressure on them.
Exactly. I think that would be my preferred way to deal with that. And, you know, I think it's so tough, isn't it? I guess in a way that would be my way of bringing the old analog ways into the digital world. You know, in the past, if you heard about someone passing away, you would maybe send a card to the family, you know, expressing your condolences. And so I suppose it's sort of just taking the methods that we've used for decades and bringing it into the modern world.
Well, in Ireland, if we were to take the analog offline methods onto online, there'd be a lot of alcohol involved, I can tell you that. our funerals and wakes tend to be long, wet affairs. Before I let you go, Victoria, is there anything else that you think is important that when you're writing this book, what was it that actually was there any central theme that you kept, you know, that seemed to be important?
Gosh, that's a tough one. I mean, I think in general, it does just all, although these tools are very new, you know, digital tools, social media, it's new and it's constantly evolving, not only the technology itself, but also our kind of social mores around how we use them. It does all just come back to that sort of initial heart of good etiquette, which is essentially thinking of other people and putting their feelings first. You know, so just taking that moment to think, am I doing this for the right reasons? What is the response going to be? Am I thinking of other people? Mm-hmm. And you can't go too far wrong within that. And I think just having that understanding as well that, you know, we haven't figured all this out yet, and people have different kind of norms when it comes to different platforms, and maybe try not to judge each other too much if we disagree with how they're using things.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Look, it was a pleasure to have you on. Thank you very much for coming on the podcast, and the very best of luck with your book. That was Victoria Turk, whose book Digital Etiquette is currently on sale, or in the States, it's called Kill Reply All. And that is all we have time for this week, folks. For me, Adrian Weckler, the tech editor of the Irish and Sunday Independent, I'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.